5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, live from high atop the Gal Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Dynamo All Access here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Your humble servant, Glenn Davis, here. As always, we are streaming on YSR 1560 AM, and tonight, well, we recap the Dynamo 4-4 draw with Sporting Kansas City. We'll begin our preview of FC Dallas ahead of their visit to Houston Friday night at BBVA Compass Stadium. And tickets are available, and you know where to get them. You get over to HoustonDynamo.com, all kinds of great packages. It is the renewed rivalry between the Dynamo and FC Dallas, the first of three matches as the Dynamo have moved to the Western Conference now. So don't watch this game on TV. 7 o'clock kickoff. Get out to BBVA Compass Stadium. Be live. Be there with like-minded individuals. And something tells me the intensity of this one will be much like Sporting Kansas City. If you desire, you can follow me on Twitter, Glenn Davis Soc, S-O-C, and on Facebook, Soccer Matters. We're posting all kinds of very interesting articles over there, looking for your reactions. I'll put some opinion up there as well. We'll take your opinions, information, discussion, news, opinion. It is all there. It is Facebook, Soccer Matters. Give us a like or friend us. So let's do a recap of the Dynamo Sporting Kansas City. Sporting Kansas City, starting this game off in more alive fashion, sharper. Looked very quick, sharp out of the locker room. A team that looked prepared for the night. They looked up for the moment. It's only 2 minutes in where Kofi Sarkodie gets caught in possession near the sideline. Goes down. He thought he was fouled. No call from the referee. Christian Namath takes off. The Dynamo continue to back up. They don't make a stand. They don't measure it right defensively. And Namath lets fly and finishes in the corner past Tyler Derrick. That is the game's first goal. It sounded like this on Root Sports.
Went to the ground rather soft. Thought he was going to get a foul. It's now a 5-on-3 right now for Sporting Kansas City. Shot is in. It's 1-0. It's driven in. Christian Namath again has scored. He scored against L.A. He's done it again. 1-0 Sporting Kansas City. 3 minutes in.
So that's only 2 minutes in for Namath, who scores for his second consecutive match, scoring against L.A. in the 2-1 loss before that. Now, 9 minutes later, Will Bruin getting a start in this one, a 4-4-2 under the manager Owen Coyle. Bruin in the lineup after a good performance at D.C. United, digging, fighting, working through two defenders, pries the ball loose. It falls gratuitously to Giles Barnes. He hits the volley to make it 1-1, and here's the call from Root Sports.
Bruin has almost fought his way through. It falls to Barnes to tie it up, and he does. Oh, the Dynamo pounce on a mistake. You by the mystical flight of the ball. Barnes has tied it up.
Now the Dynamo would find their game, and in the first half began to pick up their play, their ideas, their movement of the ball towards the end of the first half. Stoppage time, they get a corner, and they get a spectacular glancing header at the near post from Will Bruin. Fantastic delivery from Brad Davis. Here's what it sounded like again on Root Sports.
Dynamo flipped the tables here on Sporting here in the final 15 minutes. 3 minutes of additional time here. Seventh corner for the Dynamo. They swing it into the near post. The glancing header is in.
So the Dynamo with a 2-1 lead at halftime. Some might say they were fortunate to be up, but they certainly elevated their game as the half went on. Now, more from the Dynamo as they come out of the locker room. 1 minute in, Giles Barnes, after some good ball movement, they draw Sporting Kansas City to one side of the field. They pick out Barnes. Servando Carrasco's pulled out of position. He skips the finish in from long range past Luis Marin after running at the heart of the Sporting defense. The Dynamo now up 3-1. In the 74th minute, a poor back pass from the game star Giles Barnes would bring Sporting Kansas City back to life. Pouncing on it and getting his second of the year was Kansas City goleador Dom Dwyer. This is where you put a circle around this moment, because the game at this point would change.
Here's Barnes now.
He and Ricardo Clark both. I mean, I think Roger Espinosa's used to
it. Oh, that's a bad back pass from Barnes. Dwyer's going to get there. He's brought down. Advantage is played. He's going to score. And it is now 3-2. After the night Giles Barnes has had, he has just made a huge mistake. Stranger things have happened, and it is now a much different game here in the 75th minute.
Didn't take long for more controversy. Jermaine Taylor then called for a handball on the goal line after a scramble in and around the penalty area. Clearly, on the replay from our vantage point on TV, it looked like the ball went off the chest of Jermaine Taylor. He was sent off, and to this penalty spot would go Benny Failhaber. Failhaber with the cool, ice-cold penalty.
So it's Failhaber to tie it up. Derek can save penalties. Who's raining down here at BBVA Compass Stadium? Failhaber to tie it. He picks it out. Goes in the corner. It's an ice-cold finish. It is now 3-3 here in the 80th minute.
It's just another embarrassing moment for Major League Soccer officials.
It is now 3-3. 83rd minute, the Dynamo get another chance to defend their lead. Yes, they're now playing a man down, but Spanish defender Raul Rodriguez would get his head on a corner from Brad Davis and an MLS goal into the corner. That would make it 4-3. It sounded like this on Root Sports.
Beasley diagonal ball. Brad Davis brings it down. The captain trying to do everything he can. Espinosa mugs him, and he's going to get a free kick. He lobbied for it a bit, and he got it.
Look, listen. If the referees are trying to make up for the poor call and the penalty, it's not going to happen. But that's the way this night's gone. So maybe a poor call leads to one for the Dynamo.
Davis again to stand over it. Again, we remind you, if you're just joining us, Jermaine Taylor was sent off here tonight. Davis, a lot of space at the near post. Swung in. What a ball! What a goal! It is Raul Rodriguez. The Spaniard has given Dynamo fourth goal of the game. They are up now. Spectacular here.
So the Dynamo couldn't see out the 3-1 lead in the 74th minute. Could they see it out with 10 men? 5 minutes of additional time added, and Sporting Kansas City would not be denied points on this night. Again, it's Benny Failhaber. He would hit the cleanest of strikes off the half volley after the cushion down header from Graham Zusi.
Espinosa now is beginning to come to life here in the final minutes. He gets it wide to Dom Dwyer now. Dwyer's cross, took a deflection, but it goes to Zusi, knocks the header down. It's Failhaber, he has tied it! Unbelievable! In additional time, spanked in off the half volley. Benny Failhaber has tied it up. And now you got to be careful you don't lose this.
The final, 4-4, a game that the Dynamo had in control before the 74th minute. Mistakes, a night of chaos, strange decision-making from players and referees alike, great goals, wonderful approach, open play. And Sporting, by the way, we should compliment them for coming to play, not sitting back, and being a road team that comes to take the game to an opponent. In MLS, I believe we have to hold managers to that. Still, two chances for the Dynamo to manage this game out, not taking the full 3 points, a real disappointment. A tough night for not taking those points, but quite possibly this was the most entertaining game ever played at BBVA Compass Stadium. So what does that leave us now? Well, it leaves us FC Dallas coming to town this Friday night. So it's the rivalry renewed now, the Texas Derby. FC Dallas will be without Blas Perez, coached by Oscar Pereira, formerly at Colorado. Started the season off their first four games without a blemish on their record. No losses, but harder times as of late. They've had a little bit of emotional control problems. Blas Perez, again, red-carded. He's sent off. He's not available. But Fabian Castillo has absolutely been lights out in Major League Soccer. His ability, speed with which he runs with the ball at his feet, his ability to change direction. And one thing FC Dallas has been hoping to get out of him the last couple of years is end product, and they are getting that. He's creating chances for others. He's scoring goals. He's going to be an absolute handful. And we'll look to make things happen out in wide areas. He'll play on the right side. He'll move to the left. Incredibly mobile. Tesho Akindele, another young, talented player for FC Dallas to keep an eye on. A team that has got a lot of veterans, a lot of quality, and a lot of new players right now that are making things happen. So FC Dallas coming to town Friday night. That game kicks off at 7 o'clock. It should be a very interesting night. Still wondering if Matt Hedges, their center back, is going to be available after a concussion. But FC Dallas comes to town this Friday night. And Bud Light reminds you to get over to HoustonDynamo.com. Bud Light says, hey, get your packages there for both the Dynamo and the Dash. The Dash will play this Saturday against the NWSL champions, FC Kansas City. So it's a big Friday night with the Dynamo in action. Saturday night, the Dash. Then Tuesday, the Dynamo back in action again against the San Jose Earthquakes and the return of Dominic Kinnear. So Bud Light, again, remind you, get over to HoustonDynamo.com. Packages for all these games are available there. Bud Light also reminds you that, look, there is incredible international competition coming to Houston this year, the Gold Cup coming to town. Get out, support it, get down to BBVA Compass Stadium, and the place to get your tickets for the Dynamo and Dash from Bud Light is at HoustonDynamo.com. Bud Light, the official sponsor of the Houston Dynamo, Dynamo All Access here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM, and the Mexican national team. I'm Glenn Davis. We'll take a quick break here. A lot more to come here tonight. You're going to hear from a number of different people. You're going to hear from the manager again, Owen Coyle. You're going to hear from Dynamo president Chris Canetti. You will hear from Dynamo midfielder Ricardo Clark. Striker Will Brune also on the show here tonight. Giles Barnes as well. And I'm going to ask Giles about the ups and downs of this 4-4 draw against Sporting Kansas City. Time to take a break. 7-Up break.
Listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gow Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, our weekly visit with the Dynamo manager, Owen Coyle. He joins us now. Owen, as always, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Glenn. Always love to chat with you, pal.
All right, well, let's just, before I even lead you anywhere, this was a night of craziness, chaos, great goals. It seemed like a game you guys had under control. Let's just get your general comments about the evening.
Well, you're absolutely right, Glenn. I've got to say, first and foremost, it was in terms of entertainment value and the Houston Dynamo fans, then it was there for everyone to see how well we played. I mean, I said after the game, and I've looked back, and there's nothing that's altered my opinion. We had the game won. We were very comfortable. We made, obviously, an error to make it 3-2. But the story of the match was, with all due respect to him, the referee had a terrible call when he gave a penalty, sent off Jermaine Taylor, which, incidentally, has been overturned and rescinded because everybody knew it hit him clearly on the chest. And, you know, that was a big talking point of the game. Having said that, it's 3-each with 10 men. We go up the park and we score a wonderful goal to get in front because of the spirit and the quality we have. And then we have 6 minutes of added time from somewhere. And to compound that, and the fourth goal, Roger Espinosa actually handles the ball and they build up to the goal. So if everything could go against you in the one night, it certainly did. But from my perspective, Glenn, that was an outstanding performance against a Sporting Kansas team that the Houston Dynamo hadn't scored a goal against in 375 minutes at the BBVA Stadium. The last time Houston had scored against them was a Will Bruin goal in the 75th minute of a playoff game in 2012. So they went four games in a bit without even threatening their goal. Well, you know, we terrorised them. We scored four goals. We could have had five or six. So as disappointing as it was, only received 1 point from the game. For me, the huge positives from the game were there for everyone to see.
Let's talk about the night of attacking, because you know some of your ball movement pulled them really into different places. I mean, the Giles Barnes goal where he ran at the heart of the Sporting defense in, early in the second half, I think he drew all of their midfielders to the sideline. You found Giles with a great pocket of space. There was some great passing and moving in this game from the Dynamo.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Glenn, because that's what I loved about it. Obviously, when Giles then takes off from the halfway line and drives into the heart of the defence before a wonderful strike into the corner. But you're right, it was the build-up before that. When we started at the right full-back position, from Sarkodie into Lopez into Sturgis, and then that then frees up Jay. And you've come to the training session, so you can see that every day we're trying to, you know, we're trying to implement it, we're trying to paint the pictures for the players to show them how we want to go about it. And as a coach, when that move comes to fruition, it's wonderful to see. It's the same with the, you know how hard we work on the set plays. And when you see that, you know, coming to bear in the games, it's always great from a coaching perspective. But it was a wonderful goal, the third goal from Giles. And it was a team goal. And, I mean, I've got to say, I was really surprised that it wasn't a candidate for the goal of the week within, you know, the MLS stuff. And I'm surprised on one hand, but I'm not surprised on the other, because I look back and, you know, I don't think my players have been given the credit at times that they're certainly deserving of because of the way they've played and how they went about. But having said that, we'll just make sure that we, as we always do, Glenn, we regroup, we have that mentality that we're all together, and then we move on from there.
I don't think anybody could have ever predicted what was going to happen after the 74th minute. This looked at 3-1 a game. You guys were in control. You had really timely goals, stoppage time of the first half. You come out in the second half pushing forward, getting a great goal early. It looked to me like Sporting Kansas City was just getting a glaze over their eyes and beginning to slightly begin to wilt here. And then, like we've seen in so many football matches, right, one moment can just bring an animal back to life.
Well, it can. I mean, I think that's, listen, let's not get away from that. We know that, you know, when Giles was first to hold his hand up, he made a terrible error trying to pass the ball back to the outside his foot when he knows he should have been going up the park as opposed to going back the way. But as I said before, even then, Glenn, you're still comfortable at 3-2. Mm-hmm. As much as you're right, it gives them, it breathes new life into them and gives them renewed hope, because that's all it was at that time, hope. Because it would be, with all due respect to a very good Sporting Kansas side, a side that made the playoffs last year and they've got some wonderful players, we made them look very average for long periods of that game. And when all said and done, if the referee doesn't give the decision that he did, there's no doubt in my mind we'd have won that game, you know, comfortably. I think we might have even scored again. But and ultimately, that's as much as we allowed them to come into the game. Our undoing was obviously some bad decisions. There's no getting away from it.
Well, listen, it's great news though that the league reversed it and Jermaine Taylor is available Friday night, right?
Yeah, well, it's great news. I mean, it doesn't surprise me, Glenn, because I'd said at the time. I mean, I said in my press conference after the game and explaining to people, and you know, I told them what the story of the game was. But again, some people look at games from a different perspective. But for me, it was very clear what the story of the game was. That even the first goal was a foul on Kofi Sarkodie, but Nemeth has a wonderful finish. You find yourself 1-0 down. And, you know, I always like to be honest in my assessment of games. And for 10 minutes, Sporting Kansas were better than us the opening 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. No getting away from it. And then we got ourselves back in the game and we grew in confidence. We got back to where we want to be in terms of passing, moving the ball and being penetrative. And we dictated the pace of the game for the next 65 minutes until we, and not through Sporting Kansas, we allowed them back into the game. So that, as I've said to the players after the game, we take all the positives. But equally, you're right, there's stuff that we can learn from that, Glenn. And this is what I said to them about, you know, they have to understand how to manage a game when you have a game won, which effectively we did. You know, how you manage those games and how you see the game out. And we dictate the pace of those games. And I just felt, you know, obviously we allowed them back in with an error. But there was so much to be pleased about. And that's a great thing for me moving forward. And as much as the MLS overturned the referee decision with Jermaine's ability to play, which is great news for us, a fantastic player, but I don't see them giving us back the 2 points.
Yeah, or the penalty. That's it's true. It's almost like it's a half return, but it is great to get Jermaine Taylor back. You know, he seems to be a player, Owen, that that just, you know, had a somewhat of an indecisive last year. We all know the quality of him, but boy, he seems to be having a very strong, solid year and very dependable year at the back.
Well, I've got to say, you know, one or two people have said that to me that, you know, Jermaine's season last year was, you know, some ups and some downs. And I've got to say, from my opening day at the pre-season, I mean, I love everything about him, as you know, and he's been outstanding for me. And I actually said to him at half-time, I had a pop him at half-time because I thought even the first half, he was just maybe casual on one or two occasions. And when he's focused and tuned in, I mean, he's as good a centre-back as there is in this league. And I said that to him, you know, so don't get lax, don't get, you know, too cosy. You be focused, concentrated, and when you are, he's a wonderful player.
Owen Coyle joining us here, our weekly visit with the manager, and it was a night of spectacular goals, chaos, and in some ways some very strange refereeing decisions. How about the definition of a foul? To me, I thought the players were very tentative, were confused. It might have led to frustration because the definition of a foul did not seem clear to me coming from the official.
Well, I've got to say, I spoke to the referee after the game, and I've gone well with him in a couple of previous games when he's been fourth official and such forth. And I mean, I've got to say, I really like him as a man. And I think we all know, Glenn, the sport we're in, that, you know, for me, it's the toughest job, you know, being a referee. The game's getting quicker, the pitches are playing quicker. You have a millisecond to make the decision. And all I said was, you know, I certainly understand in terms of the little bitty fouls at the halfway line and such forth. They can go either way. We've always tried to referee games at practice, and it can be difficult. But the big thing for me and all the head coaches is that you get the big decisions, you know, the game changers, because goals change games, that you get those ones right. And I think on the night, very little went for the Dynamo, I have to say that. I mean, yeah, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but I don't know if it's been published yet, but Savando Carrasco received a red card, retrospectively as well.
For the punch on Brad Davis.
So it just seemed to be that everything that possibly could go against the Dynamo did on that night. But again, you know, we take our medicine, we regroup, and we go again, knowing we'll get so much to look forward. I mean, we're so excited about the season ahead, and that's what we've got to take in the game on Friday.
Yeah, let's talk about this, because you know already, I've seen you quoted about the emotion between FC Dallas and the Dynamo. It's going to be a renewed rivalry. What's the carryover now from this game? What is the carryover? What is the big message, the primary message from Owen Coyle to his team?
Well, the message to my lads was very simple, that if we perform to our maximum, as we did for 65 minutes against Sporting Kansas, a very good side, if we perform to that level consistently, Glenn, then we'll be winning games week in, week out, because we certainly believe that, and you'll know this because you've watched all the games, but we certainly believe that we're improving from day one to where we are now. We know there's more to come from us moving ahead, and that's the big message for us. You know, trust yourself, believe in yourself, believe in your teammates. We always stick together as a group, and if we do that consistently, I've got no doubts that we'll reach what our goal was at the start of the season, and that's to be in those playoffs with a chance of winning the MLS Cup.
Oh, and it's a quick turnaround. Then you play Tuesday. So, I mean, boy, this is coming pretty thick and heavy now. It's kind of an awkward, little bit of a different type of schedule here.
Yeah, well, it is. That's why we love the game, Glenn. We love playing matches. And, you know, you're playing against quality opposition week in, week out. You know, there's not a huge differential between a lot of teams. A lot of evenly matched teams with very good players. And Dallas are the same. You know, Dallas coming down, as much as Blas Perez is suspended, you know, Castillo's a wonderful player. He's probably been one of the best players in the league to this point in the season. Diaz, a very clever player, Hollingshead. I mean, Dallas will get some tasty players, but equally they'll know that so have Houston Dynamo, and that's a great thing for us. You know, everybody's sitting up and I think taking aware of, you know, this is a good Dynamo side with very good players, but it's going to make them a fantastic match. You're right about obviously the rivalry within the state. It's funny, Glenn, because back home our derbies are within a 5 and 10 mile radius. I think I'm led to believe this one's 242 miles.
Yeah, and we consider that close.
Yeah, but it's still a rivalry. It will still be a great atmosphere. I mean, they've got a wonderful coach in Oscar and his staff there. And you know, I mean, as I and my staff are, we're passionate about the Dynamo, and they'll be the same for Dallas. So there'll be two very good teams going all out to win, which I'm sure will be another exciting match. And that's what we want in BBVA. We want that entertainment factor, and we want to be winning games while we're doing it.
Well, it was pretty remarkable, and I know you as a manager were disappointed. I could see it on your face after the game. I know how competitive you are, and everybody wanted the full 3 points. But if I take that to the side and just go entertainment value, it was amazing how the fans and a great crowd down there were just buzzing about just, you know, there were so many things for them to talk about, the quality of the goals, the quality of some of the play, the craziness of plays, controversy, chaos. It was all there.
Well, I'm glad you say that, Glenn, and I'll tell you why. Because I could actually, as much as you know as a coach, you're totally besotted in the game you're caught up, but I could actually sense the atmosphere within the stadium during the game. And I've got to pay credit to our fans because the atmosphere was electric. And my message to them for Friday would be, bring the same intensity, bring that same hunger, because the players thrive on it. And the players could sense how excited the fans were, how on board they were. And the players relish that. That's the atmosphere they want to play in. And I've got to say, I've been very fortunate to have been played as a player and a coach and a manager in many fantastic stadiums throughout world soccer. But that atmosphere on Saturday night, it was electric. And that's what we want every week, because you really thrive in that atmosphere. And, you know, so a big credit to our fans. We really appreciate the support, the encouragement, you know, the vocal, the singing. It was a fantastic atmosphere, Glenn.
Fans emotionally connected. There was no doubt about it. What a night it was. All right, Owen, well, look, we're going to let you go. Listen, the best of luck against FC Dallas, as always. Thank you very much for taking the time out to let us pick your brain here ahead of games. It's very fun.
Thanks, Glenn. I love that, and hopefully I'll see you soon, Paul.
Yep. Friday night, it's the Dynamo. It's Owen Coyle taking on FC Dallas, the Texas Derby. It's down at BBVA Compass Stadium. Yes, it's on Univision. Go to the stadium. Be there live. HoustonDynamo.com. That's where you get your tickets. We'll take a break.
Listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gow Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, Dynamo midfielder Ricardo Clark joining us. Before we get him on, though, a quick word here for Bud Light. Bud Light reminds you that there is incredible international soccer content coming through Houston this year. The Gold Cup will be at BBVA Compass Stadium. The Dynamo Charities Cup will be at BBVA Compass Stadium. We don't know who the international opponent is yet, but tremendous international soccer coming through BBVA Compass Stadium. Plus, don't forget, the Houston Dynamo coming off one of the most entertaining games, maybe the most entertaining game in the history of BBVA Compass Stadium. So you get your Dynamo and Dash tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. Bud Light encourages you. Get down to the beautiful BBVA Compass Stadium, one of the most beautiful soccer facilities in the United States, right here in Houston. And a personal thank you to Bud Light from me for supporting soccer on the radio for so many years. Thank you, Bud Light. And with that, well, we bring in the one and only Ricardo Clark. Ricardo, thank you for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Glenn.
It was in a week where we see Bayern Munich knocked out of the German Cup by Dortmund. Pretty intense. It reminds me of your time in Germany with Eintracht Frankfurt. And just a couple of comments on your days over in Germany and what it meant to play in that soccer culture.
It was an unbelievable experience playing in Germany, especially playing at Bayern Munich Stadium. When I was there, Dortmund was actually the top team, and they were taking the championships that year. And it was a heck of a game from what I hear, and for them to beat Bayern Munich that way, man, that's just amazing. But I guess what football is all about, and add to the excitement.
How quickly, when you got over there, did you really get inundated and understand the history of Eintracht Frankfurt, which just goes so far back?
Say it again, I'm sorry.
How long did it take you to understand the history of Eintracht Frankfurt when you got over there?
Just when you step into the stadium, you just get a feel for what the club is all about and how long they've been there. In our locker room area, they have team pictures of every single team dating back to, I don't even know, early 1900s or whenever it was. So there's a rich history there, and it's really cool to see how, you know, the transition and evolution of the club while I was there, and you know, the football is ingrained in the culture there, and people, you know, it's a real thing there. People take it really seriously. So it was just exciting and a good experience to be a part of that.
Ricardo Clark joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. Ricardo, I know you had a lot of injuries over there. That was difficult. But talk a little bit about one of your this may be one of the most memorable games in your career. You'll have to tell me, but you had an excellent game, and I think you were playing as a center back against Dortmund.
Yeah, I did have experience playing against Dortmund that year. Like I said, they were the top team. They were the team to beat, and thankfully we were able to come. They were able to come to our place, and we were able to beat them. For some reason, we had a really good record against really good teams in our stadium, and you know, when they would come to us, and we would have good results against them. So that was just one of them, against Dortmund, when they were, you know, one of the top teams there, like I said, and it was a really cool experience, just being able to play against, you know, top teams like that, top players like that, and I really enjoyed it.
So much amazing history and passion for the sport over there, the coverage, all the things that a soccer country like Germany provides, as good as any in the world. What were some of your favorite stadiums over there in the German Bundesliga?
I would have to put our stadium up there. Mm-hmm. Just the whole ambiance of the stadium you know, the crowd and you know, first year I was there, we never averaged, you know, less than, I don't know, 50,000. Schalke Stadium was pretty cool. I was injured when we played Dortmund, so I didn't get to experience that, but I heard that's a really unbelievable place to play. But, you know, they're coming off the World Cup, 2006, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so all those stadiums were top-notch, and it was just a pleasure to be a part of that.
All right, Ricardo, let's take you to Saturday night, back to Saturday night, 4-4 draw. People buzzing about the entertainment value of this game. I know you guys were incredibly disappointed not to see out a 3-1 lead, but is that one of the craziest MLS games you've ever been in?
I'm trying to think back. That's definitely one of them. With the high scoring and whatnot, you know, I think you can put Ching's goal winner in the finals up there with that. You know, and we had a pretty couple good games in Robertson back in the day, especially during playoffs. But yeah, that was definitely one of the top games and most exciting games, you know, I've been a part of. It was, you know, it was heartbreaking for us. It was disappointing. You know, I think we kind of let it slip through our fingers. The referee didn't help us at all. But you know, at least we have to say we came out there with a point. We didn't lose. The fans got to enjoy, you know, a bit of an exciting show, and you know, there's a lot of positives we can take from that game and carry it over to the next game and hopefully get 3 points there.
Obviously, not being able to see the game out not only once but twice, even with 10 men, you had an opportunity to see it out after the Raul Rodriguez goal. That hurts. But tell me about the pros. Tell me about the things you take out of this game that's positive. I know one of them scoring 4 goals.
Yeah, for sure. Taking, you know, a point is a positive. The 4 goals, you know, we look good offensively. I think the majority of the game we controlled. You know, it's just, you know, we had good play from back to front. And I think that's the best, you know, passing sequences we had all year. And you know, with Giles making runs forward, Will Bruin and Raul getting goals off set pieces, which we've been dangerous at all year, that was something, you know, we can definitely build off of and hopefully carry it over into next game.
You yourself, you know, just I always question the people. I go, Ricardo must be drinking from the fountain of youth. This guy physically is just remarkable. You just don't seem to be slowing down. You're still as mobile as you've ever been. Do you feel any chinks in the armor? I mean, you know, you're over 30 now, and look, there's no turning back Mother Nature and the human body, but, you know, some go longer than others. Mm-hmm. What's the secret?
Not too many secrets. I mean, just you know, mostly common sense type things. Having a good diet, you know, warming up properly, cooling down properly, getting rest. Those things add to, you know, those things add up over time. And you know, I want to try to stay on top of my body. Every little knock or injury, a little injury I have, I take it seriously. So I'm always in the training room. Even if I feel, you know, 90%, I'm still in the training room, trying to make myself 100%, with every little knock, like I said, a sprain or whatever it be, little soreness. So, I'm just trying to be on top of it. When it comes to the physical part of my body and always trying to, keep my body in balance. And thankfully, you know, I haven't had too many injuries this year. You know, most of my injuries come from, you know, just unfortunate circumstances, whether it be concussion or, you know, a while ago, I think I had a fractured face when I was in Germany. That's why I missed a lot of time. So, you know, just trying to keep the ankles and knees strong and you know, the main parts of my body fit and just go from there and pray everything falls in the right way.
He's Dynamo midfielder Ricardo Clark joining us here. Was this a difficult game from the standpoint of the definition of what a foul was from this referee? Because I just thought I saw players that seemed very hesitant and confused about a referee. And I'm not one for banging on referees, but I don't think there's any question. People seem to be a little bit confused of if you had to define what a foul was on this night, it wouldn't have been easy to do.
Yeah. Are you speaking about...
just his overall calling of the game and the consistencies of fouls and the types of fouls.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've known him for a long time. I've known the ref for a long time. I've had him do a couple, you know, many of my games in the past. And he's always been a quality referee. Mm-hmm. Just like any player, you know, we have our bad days. And it's easy to get on the ref because he's kind of the neutral guy. But, you know, I don't think he had his best game. You know, on the PK, obviously, I saw the replay. I didn't think it was I think it hit his chest. And you know, to give a red card in that situation, even a foul or a handball, whatever it be, you know, I think he kind of hurt us in that instance. And, you know, but that's a part of the game. Like I said, players make mistakes and referees are part of the game and they make some mistakes also. And, you know, next time I think we can do a little bit better to not put ourselves in that position, even though those things do happen. So it's just one of those things we have to learn from and carry it over into the rest of the season and just grow from it.
Ricardo, do you have to do a different type of running, a different amount of running when you play with a two set in midfield as opposed to three? And take us into how maybe your game is altered a little bit and changed and defined differently when you play in a two set in a 4-4-2 and a three set in a 4-3-3.
Oh yeah, there's definitely more running in a 4-4-2 versus a 4-3-3. Especially if we're in a 4-4-2. We're playing against a 4-3-3 because, you know, you're a little bit outnumbered in midfield, so there's a lot of balancing and ground covering. So in that instance, you know, you try to you know, be in good position to stop them defensively, anticipate where the ball is going, and communication is a big, big, big part of that. And, you know, I think, like I said, for the most part in the game, I thought we did that and we controlled it. Obviously when we went down a man, it was a little more difficult, but we still were able to maintain, and I think we got the goal and we were 10 men, if I'm not mistaken. But that's the difference right there, you know, just little adjustments. But you know, I think we handle both systems pretty well, and we'll see how we'll come out on this weekend.
Last question before I let you go, Ricardo. Just talk a little bit about FC Dallas and the fact that you get to play them a couple of times this year with the move to the Western Conference. And then let's also talk about the importance of Friday night's game against FC Dallas, who, by the way, are coming to BBVA Compass Stadium. Get your tickets over to HoustonDynamo.com because you guys are going to get a number of games on the road here. So to pick up points Friday would be huge.
Yeah, for sure. You know, with these three home games, that we've had and are having. You know, we want to take advantage of it and get as much points as possible. You know, we're going to be disappointed if we don't come out with 3 points. And you know, not to say that Dallas isn't a good team, but they're doing well this year. So it's still going to be a good test for us. But you know, saying that, it's good to be back in the Western Conference to get these rivalries back and you know, add some excitement to the game. And you know, we're excited about it. We're looking forward to it. And we've had some battles with them in the past, and we're hoping to continue that.
Ricardo, as always, thank you very much, and we appreciate you spending time with us tonight on the radio.
Okay, thanks a lot, Glenn.
All right, that's the one and only Ricardo Clark. Great start to the season this year. He's already got a couple of goals and picking up where he left off last year. We'll take a break here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. This is the best in soccer talk, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gow Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, time to talk a little Houston Dash here. Lauren Sesselman joining us. As many know, Lauren Sesselman will be with the Canadian national team this summer at the Women's World Cup being hosted by Canada. Just called up recently, has been in Canadian camp, coming back off the injury. Lauren, thank you very much for coming on the program, and it sounds like progress is being made with you.
Thanks for having me, and yes, definitely. You know, I've been out for a year, so it feels good just to kind of get back in action, so I'm excited.
45 minutes you got against New Jersey. You know, the Women's World Cup here, it's as though you're kind of being fast-tracked to get yourself to where you need to be for this Women's World Cup and also for the Houston Dash. So I would imagine here in the next couple of weeks, you've got a pretty intense, pretty focused plan here to get you across the finish line to where you want to be.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I have a step-by-step process, to, you know, so that I'm 100% when it comes game time with the World Cup. So I've just been taking it kind of slow, but also, you know, you can't take it too slow at this point. So I kind of just started about a month and a half ago, started kind of getting into practices and, you know, started non-contact. And then the past couple of weeks I've been full contact, played 45 against France with the national team, and then 45 with the Houston Dash against Jersey. So it's definitely a step in the right direction, so.
So from the outside, you know, I know you didn't play this weekend, 3-2 loss for the Dash, first loss of the season here after opening the season unbeaten through your first two. Boston 3-2, kind of on an own goal up in Boston, Massachusetts. When you look from the outside at the talent on this team, Jess McDonald getting a couple of goals there, Kalia Ojai, you know, obviously Carly Lloyd, Morgan Bryan. When you look from the outside looking in, boy, when you get all the pieces together and the focus can get a little bit tighter here outside of the World Cup. This could be a heck of a Houston Dash team.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, last year we were, you know, just getting a bunch of the pieces going. And, you know, we had, it wasn't the best, you know, season last year. And we added some amazing talent to this roster with the talent that we already had in place. And it's pretty exciting to see how, you know, how well we've done so far, and I love watching the girls, and, you know, we haven't been able to be there for all the games, but it's just, it's awesome. You know, we have such a talented squad, and to come and play with them on a daily basis is amazing.
Lauren Sesselman of the Houston Dash. The Dash go to 1-1-1. They will be in action this Saturday. It's the Dynamo on Friday night against FC Dallas. Saturday, the Dash will be taking on FC Casey, who are the defending NWSL champions. Team with a lot of talent here, and as I look at the roster, Megan Klingenberg, Stephanie Oakes, Stephanie Roach coming over from Ireland. Let's go to her because it's a little bit different for her coming to the NWSL, and we know she's a pretty technical player. How has she adjusted?
She's doing great. I've only had the opportunity to really, actually today was the first day I've actually trained with her. She's a phenomenal person. She is like the sweetest person I've ever met, and she's great height and great size on her, and she is a technical player, and she adds a great element to this team. And so there's going to be some exciting things we're going to be seeing from her as well this season. So she's a great piece of the puzzle.
Now, as far as the Women's World Cup, it's got to be difficult not to be thinking of that, right? I mean, is that just something that you just can't get out of your brain on a daily basis right now?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's pretty exciting. This is something you kind of been working for your whole life, and we just announced our roster on Monday, so literally flew here last night, so been kind of in that mode of, oh my gosh, you just made it. So you know, there's still a lot of time left to get better, and so this is a great, you know, it's great to be in this environment right now with Houston, and they're pushing you on a daily basis to get better. So when the World Cup is here, we're ready to go.
Tough year for you, you know, mentally, how difficult is it knowing that the Women's World Cup was there? You had a very serious injury that you fought back from, ACL injury. I mean, these are not injuries for the lighthearted. There's serious rehab that has to go on. A lot of things have to go right to get it back to where you want it. Mentally, what was it like?
It was hard. I don't think people really grasp the magnitude of it until it actually happens to you. You know, there was a lot of highs and a lot of lows for me, and there was a lot of setbacks. And, you know, one day you feel great, the next day you don't. So the minute you think you're progressing, you're kind of pulled back. And that takes a toll on you mentally, definitely. I luckily have a good support staff and a lot of people around me that, you know, kind of kept me on a positive note on a daily basis. And, yeah, I think you just have to surround yourself with great people that are going to push you every day and make you great. And that, in turn, gives you the motivation to be at your best.
How about Canada as we get closer to it? I know I asked you this the last time I interviewed you, but as you get closer to this, are you seeing the country getting excited about what's right around the corner now?
Oh, my gosh. It's incredible. Like, just, we were just in Vancouver for camp, and, I mean, we just had the turnout that we had at Media Day. You just see the heart and soul and passion that people have for this team, and it's a great feeling to know that you have so many people supporting you and then they're going to have your back and essentially be your 12th man out on the field, you know, when you're out there playing. And we're going to need them at times. Definitely. We're going to need them all the time. You know, and just playing in front of, you know, these fans is going to be an awesome experience. And we definitely feel the love when we're in Canada, not even when we're in Canada, like wherever we are, we feel the love. So it's awesome.
Well, listen, Lauren, as always, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate you coming on the show, you and a couple of your Dash teammates, Aaron McLeod, Alicia Chapman, also getting picked to the Canadian national team. We wish you not only the best of luck this Saturday against FCKC, but also during this summer's 2015 FIFA Women's World Cup in Canada.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, that's Lauren Sesselman. We'll take a break here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM.
Hell no place to go.